Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This is your co-host for today, Minister Tabika Garnes. My host is away. She's on vacation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I do miss her, and I hope that she's having fun with her family. I'm always happy when she's able to get away because she deserves that time to just relax and, you know, let her hair down and put her feet up and just enjoy her time with her family. So I just pray that all is well and that she enjoyed herself. She should be back tomorrow, sometime tomorrow. And so good morning to our callers for this morning. Good morning, Miss Joyce. Good morning, Tamika Shelton. Good morning, Miss Joyce in New York. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to Prophetess Kim, Prophet Crawford, and Pastor Songbird. Good morning to Apostles family. We just want to welcome you to the show this morning. And again, you know, I say this every Saturday. We are so blessed that you all took the time out to be with us when you could be doing other things on a Saturday morning, but you decided to get up and be participants on this show. And we do not take that for granted. And we, again, just want you to know that we appreciate you and the time that you spend with us on this show. You know, as we look outside this morning, it may be dreary outside, but it does not have to be. It is not dreary in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So we know where God's presence is, there is peace. And you can create an atmosphere of peace wherever you are. It, you know, you call on the help of the Holy Spirit and you let him take over and you just create your atmosphere of peace because it can be done. We don't base that on, you know, what's going on. We don't base that on the weather. Because if we based our peace, you know, on the weather, it would be up and down. It would be like a roller coaster. But we are happy that we are here, you know, that we woke up this morning, that we are able to enjoy another day, take the time out to be a blessing to someone else, you know, and how can we make God famous in our daily walk with him. So before we get started, I want to open us up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do love you. We thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. And we know that we're nothing without you. And so, Father, we invite you on this line to have your way, to speak through the people that want to share, to speak through me. Lord, we just thank you for using us in the capacity that you use it, that you use us for. God, you trust us that much that you died on the cross before we were even born. That before, you know, we were even in our mother's wombs, Lord God, you died on the cross for us. And so, Father, we just want to say thank you. Even you knew that we weren't going to come to that place where that we would be in you. You knew there would be some disobedience and some rebellion during our walk, but you still created us in your image, and you still gave us the mind of Christ. And we just want to say thank you for trusting us with the things that you've given us. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we just thank you, Lord God, for the calling that you've placed over our life. We thank you for the destiny, Lord God, that you've placed within us, oh God. And as we continue to grow each day in you, Lord God, we learn more things about who we are. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are opening our eyes, that you are opening our ears, that you are allowing us to see and hear things that changes our mind about who we are, changes our mind about what we see and what we hear. And so, Father, we thank you, O God, for the warriors that are always praying on the behalf of others, oh God, the prayer warriors, the intercessors, oh God. We thank you for them. We thank you that we may not even know the names of these people. We may not even meet them, Lord God, but we know that somewhere there are prayer warriors and intercessors just lifting everybody up in prayer, whether it's the nation, whether it's the city, whether it's the state, you know, whether you know them personally, Lord God, that you have placed these people in different corners of the earth to pray, to bring down strongholds, to bring down giants, to overcome mountains that are in the way. And so, Father, we ask that you just would continue to pour into us, oh God, as we just pour out things that has hindered us from growing in you, Lord God, as we just release those things. Lord, you're able to pour into us. God, I pray, Lord, that those things that people have on the altar before you, Lord God, I pray that they don't get weary and well-doing. I pray that they don't just give up because the answer that they want has not come to fruition yet, oh God. But instead of looking for the answer that they want, Father, I pray that their hearts and minds are changed to listen for the answer that you want, because everything that we want is not always good for us. Even though it may seem good, it may look good, it may not be good for us. And so, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you for your consistency in our lives, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that you are a healer, you are a deliverer, you love us unconditionally, Lord God. And you, Lord God, know that we have character flaws, and you know that we sometimes our attitudes are wrong and off, but God, you love us anyway, because that's the unconditional love that you show towards us each and every day, God. So let us learn to love those in the same way that you love us. And Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I briefly mentioned that Apostle Banks is on vacation. Hallelujah. She will return on tomorrow. She's with her family, and I know that she's been enjoying herself, and I'm just glad that she was able to get away just to enjoy that time away from the everyday monotony. And so this morning we are going to talk about renewing your mind and why it's important to renew your mind. So if anytime anyone has anything to share or comment or whatever it is, please press 1 on your keypad and you can speak. So yes, so renewing your mind. I have this burden to see people delivered and set free from the things of their past and negative thoughts and all that type of stuff, especially women. I have this burden to see us set free because we have so much to offer. You know, the nurturers that we are, the mothers that some of us are, the friendships that we maintain, our wisdom, our beauty, you know, everything that God has given us as a woman, we have a lot to offer. We have that way of helping somebody through a situation with the love of God. And, you know, knowing that the things that people go through have them bound and they're not able to give or love the way that God wants us to love, but it's in them. But because, you know, of things that have happened to them, it's hard for them to connect to that and then live it. And so a lot of that has to do with our mind, and our mind is a very, very, very powerful organ. It determines whether we will be successful, whether we will be just one that's complacent and comfortable right where we are. You know, the thoughts that we have, they may destroy a relationship or they may build a relationship. But we know that the enemy seeks our mind because our mind is what controls the different parts of our bodies. You know, it controls whether, you know, we're going to be depressed or we're going to have anxiety or all those other things. So the enemy wants to keep us bound with our thoughts, you know, the thoughts. He want to keep us overwhelmed with so many thoughts that we'll just get so into that place where we don't want to do anything, where we just can't even think, you know, where we can't focus. And after a while of not being able to focus or think or remember certain things, it weighs on you and it becomes really, really heavy. And it's like you just your mind is tired and you can't move anymore. So once the enemy knows that, you know, he's able to play those tricks in your mind, you know, those thoughts that we have every day that we sometimes can't get rid of, once he knows that he can control us with our thoughts, that is where he plays the most games and where he won't let up if we don't make the choice to do something different. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we are transformed. So in the way we learn is to live Christ's life and by renewing our minds and putting off our own negative and corrupt thinking and putting on God's thoughts. Ephesians 4:22-24 exhorts us to put off concerning the former conversation or the behavior, the old man, the old self, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, the new self, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So even in his word, he tells us all those old things, all the old things that we picked up along the way of life, you know, all the deceitful lust, the behavior that we once exhibited before we were saved. All of once we're saved, all that stuff should fall off, and it may take people years for it to fall off, and some they may be renewed the next day. It depends on the level of how bad you want it. So, a renewed mind then is one that has done two things: it has put off any sin, any hurt, doubt, fear, rebellion, self-centeredness, lust, bitterness, etc., any corrupt thinking or any barrier that will quench God's spirit, and has put on the mind of Christ. And we can find that in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because remember, God gave us the mind of Christ. So we are able to think like Christ. It's up to us whether we're going to do it or not. So again, we have that choice whether we're going to forgive or we're not going to forgive. We have the choice to, you know, let someone know that they offended us, or we just, you know, suck it up and keep moving on. But while all the time we're harboring that offense and not saying anything. And so that's another thing. When someone offends us or hurt our feelings and we continually don't let that person or people know that was offensive or that hurt our feelings, and we continue to harbor those thoughts, that can make our heart sick. You know, that could make our thoughts in our mind that every time you see that person, you know, you think something bad about the person because you had one encounter, two encounters, how many encounters you had with this person that's been negative, but you never say anything. So sometimes we have to step back and think sometimes that maybe that person didn't know that they offended you. Maybe that person didn't know that they hurt you. Sometimes people say things and they say it without thinking and they never realize that they hurt your feelings. But until you bring it to their attention, you know, give them the opportunity to acknowledge the fact that, oh, you know, I didn't realize that was offensive, or they may have been intentional in what they said, and then you know either way whether it was intentional or not. But if you don't say anything, you're always going to feel that person intentionally hurts you, you know, or is offensive towards you. So it's best that when something arises and it's offensive to you or hurts your feelings, that don't make yourself sick and depressed and all that because you don't want to say anything to the person. Say something, you know, don't be afraid to say something to people when they are offensive to you, because you're the one that holds on to that stuff and they have walked away. Now, some things don't require a response, and that will come with the more time you spend with God, sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes, you know, God will tell you, don't even respond. Don't even say anything. And it's been cases where I've been in that similar situation where someone has said something and I pause and I've heard the Holy Spirit say, don't even respond. Don't even say nothing, you know. And in those cases, I won't, because he's telling me not to. But we remember, we have to, in order to have healthy relationships, we have to have boundaries. You know, we have to let people know, you know, where they are in our space. So we can't have people just all in our space without respecting the time that they have with us, or respecting, you know, the boundaries in a relationship. There has to be boundaries in a relationship, or you'll always feel like you're always walked all over, especially if you're one that likes to serve, or you're one that likes to help people. You know, sometimes you'll get people that just like to take advantage of people. So if you don't create boundaries in relationships with people, and you'll know what boundaries to create. You'll know the character of people, and you will know what you cannot do with this person and what you can do with this person. But again, setting boundaries gives you a level of peace where people won't be so fast to say things to you and feel like they can say it. When you create boundaries, they know, okay, I can't say that to such and such because I know she's going to say something to me. She's just not going to let me do anything to her. You know, people know when they can get away with stuff. They know who they can say it to and who not to say it to. They know who they can take advantage of and who they can't take advantage of. So if you're the one that creates the boundaries, and I'm not saying be so, we're supposed to guard our hearts, yes, but I'm not saying be so guarded that everybody you meet, you just keep them at a distance and you don't have any type of relationship with anybody because you're so distant and standoffish that people just don't want to be bothered with you. No, always show the love of Christ, but do know where these people are placed in your relationship. So, again, some people can't be close, some people can, but you'll know which ones can and which ones can't. You will know. And I'm getting this information from a website. It's called Canonia House, and it's khouse.org. So this is where some of this information is coming from. So renewing our minds is not simply changing our thoughts, but actually putting off the old negative thoughts as well as putting on God's thoughts. In other words, we can't just say to God, Lord, give me your thoughts, and somehow expect him to automatically give us his mind. We must first put off our own self-centered thinking by confessing, repenting, and then giving it to God. At this point, we can then put on the mind of Christ. So just an example for me, because I love being transparent. Sometimes in a workplace there, you know, we have these different cliques and people who, you know, they like to talk about people. They love to have that gossip session, you know, and it happens a lot at work. And it's been instances where I would be cool with somebody one day, and then like the next day or within that same week, the person just stops talking to me for no reason. Like, no reason. We didn't have an altercation. We didn't have any words. No, it's, you know, I didn't say anything that may have hurt this person's feelings. It was weird, and it happened more than one time with different people. It was like, for the life of me, I could not understand, you know, what I did. So I'm searching, trying to replay yesterday in my mind, like, okay, what happened yesterday? Did I say something that hurt their feelings or that was offensive? What did I do to this person? And so I'm beating myself up trying to figure out what I've done to this person because they didn't speak to me the next day or within that week, or they just, for whatever reason, just stopped talking to me. And so, you know, then the next week, it's like, okay, we cool now. They started talking to me again. And I'm so lost because I can't figure out what it is that I've done to that person. So, okay, while all these thoughts are going on, then the enemy, here comes the enemy. He starts to play with your thoughts. She probably doesn't like you, or, you know, she's probably jealous of you, you know. You need to just stop talking to her, you know, because, you know, you need to just stop talking to her, or you need to go over there and say something to her. You don't let people just do you any kind. Like, it's these different thoughts the enemy starts to play, because now he can see that this person not speaking to me, he can see that now it's affecting me. So then he wants to play off of that. Then when I'm in another job and the same situation looks similar, then it's like, okay, I'm doing this all over again. What did I do to that person? The person could just be having a bad day, and it doesn't have anything to do with you. Sometimes people come to work, and they're having a bad day, and they just don't speak. You know, it doesn't have nothing to do with you per se. But when you have situations where they look similar, you keep playing over and over and over, getting in your mind that you've done something to somebody. That's the reason why they're treating you like that. And technically, it doesn't really even have anything to do with you. But the negative thoughts that we harbor, it can make us sick. It can make us so heavy that it feels like we're walking through like sludge or quicksand or something. Like we just can't get up and move, because the thoughts that's going on in our minds are so strong that we can't go further. We can't think straight. We can't focus. And so every situation that may not even be about us, we make it about us. For example, if I see somebody that I know that I had, you know, words with or whatever, and they're talking to somebody else, I automatically assume they're talking about me. Now, I don't know. I'm not there anymore. These are just past examples. But this is the type of stuff that the enemy wants to keep going on, so that you can be so intertwined with that stuff that you're missing the things that God has for you. And the negative thoughts are so loud that they're canceling out the positive thoughts that God is trying to get you to hear. 1 second, we have a caller that wishes to speak. Your last four digits are 3149. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
You can hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Praise God. I just wanted to partake of the dialogue. It's a great topic, mm-hmm. And I also looked online to the website that you mentioned. Is it a particular article that you're referencing?
Mm-hmm. This one is called What is Mind Renewal and Why is It So Important?
Okay, so I'm going to look that one up in just a second. However, I just wanted to partake. I was kind of like following you, and I just wanted to just utter a few words like what you were mm-hmm. saying. And I thank God, because God made us to have relationships, first of all with Him and then with one another. And, mm-hmm. you know, with the body of Christ, it's all interconnected. We're all a part of His body, interconnected, intertwined into one big family, the family of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So relationships are important to God, extremely. And thank God for the analogy that you were sharing in reference to your workplace, and that's a place that you practically go during, you know, each day of the work week. You know, so you have to, in other words, what I'm saying is that God, we're not an island unto ourselves. We have to interact with people every day,
mm-hmm.
every day. And so having the relationships are important. So just the dialogue that you were just having and sharing, I was just saying that a person would be bound with all those different things that you were saying as far as being stuck with the heaviness and the negative thoughts, et cetera. And God wants us free. You know, mm-hmm. that dialogue that you were sharing, God wants us free so that we could free others. And if a person was in that type of situation, like you were sharing, the Word of God helps us to be free. And how is that person going to be able to be effective for God if all of that is going on in that person internally? I just wanted to put that out there, too, because he wants us to be free so that we can be able to win others to him and get them free, too. So that's my two cents.
Amen. Amen. And thank
God
you.
Wants us
thank
to
you
be
for
free
sharing.
Indeed. Amen.
Yes,
free
yes,
indeed.
Him. Amen.
And he makes us free. You know, his word helps us to get over ourselves, to get over, you talked about all those different things, and that seems like a wall. He wants us to let down those walls and learn how to interact. And to know is to have wisdom, to know when to open up our mouths and let a person know. You talked about those boundaries. Let a person, there are times, like you were saying, we got to know the difference. We got to know when to hold our peace, be quiet, and we got to know when to speak up. There's a balance in it all, and it's all being connected to the Holy Spirit. He will let us know. And case in point, yesterday at my job, the vice principal called me and said, well, you know, she calls me like an hour later and says, you know, you were supposed to be at this meeting. And no, I didn't know I had to be at a meeting. It was during my planning time. So I answered the call. She called me my personal number. And then, so I said to her, well, who was the meeting for? Because I was unaware of this meeting. So I said, well, who was the meeting for? And she told me the child's name. And then I just said, okay, I'll be there. So I went to the meeting. And then going to the meeting, it wasn't, when I go to a meeting, I have to be prepared, even though I don't even know about a meeting, but I had to get all my stuff, pull down my stuff, like calendars, et cetera, case list, because it could have been somebody else's case, and pull that down from my wall, all these different things to hurry up and be ready at this meeting. So I had to do all these things, but I was just in a state of peace with God that I hurry up and did it and went to the meeting, got to the meeting, and guess what? Nobody was there. They were gone. So I used that time to pray to the Lord. But God was like testing me to see where I was. You know, was I going to get all negative and bent out of shape because she called me to a meeting? And then I get pull all these things down. Then I got to put them back up on the wall. But anyway, God allows these different things to happen in our lives to allow us to see exactly where we are in him. I'm saying that all to say our fruit. God is after our fruit. Are we walking in love? Are we walking in peace? Are we walking, you know, the fruits of the Spirit? You know, love, temperance, self-control, those things. God has gifted all of us with a talent, a gift, et cetera. Some people are functioning and functioning in a particular call and assignment with different titles, et cetera. The bottom line is this. Are we exhibiting the Christ-like characteristics that we're supposed to be exhibiting in our everyday life, at home, on our job, in church, in the marketplace, in every place where we go? And to God be the glory.
Amen.
All right. I'll be back up.
Amen. Thank you, Lady Doe.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing. Because all of
praise
us have,
God.
Yes, man. All of us have different things that we can share with people. You know, we don't all have the same interactions with people, and we don't have the same relationships with people. You know, we don't have the same type of friendships. I mean, some people have best friends, some people have associates, acquaintances, and you know, some people have known people, you know, since they were little, and they're still close. And some people don't have that. So it's good that we all share, because now, you know, we can learn from one another. If we shared life experiences and things that we've gone through and we were able to overcome with the help of God, you know, it's good that we share these things, because we just never know who else is out there wondering if they're the only one going through something. And just another thing I wanted to share with I recently was going through at work is I'm a pharmacy technician, and what we have to do is we have to enter the prescriptions. We're not a retail pharmacy, so we don't interact with the customers. We deal with like group homes and people who live there like mentally disabled or they're sick and can't take care of themselves. So we deal with those agencies that house these people. So my job can be very overwhelming, because number one, I have to make sure that I am entering the correct prescription under the correct person and the correct medication with the correct directions. Because if I don't, there may be a possibility that the person gets the wrong stuff or takes it wrong because of what I entered on the prescription, and, you know, they may have an adverse event and at my mistake. I don't want that. So I have to pay attention. Even in that, we have to answer the phones. So while we're entering prescriptions, we have to answer the phones. And so once we hang up, we have to remember to clear our screen so that we don't go back to entering the prescription, and then we're entering under the wrong person. So we just have to be careful in our steps throughout the day. Not only that, we have other responsibilities, and we have to make sure that remembering certain things, certain steps during the day, we have to remember. We have our own accounts that we're responsible for. And so all this stuff during the day, it can become a lot, and it can be overwhelming. And I would leave work at work. But in the middle of the night, I would wake up with all these thoughts that I didn't do something right, or I made a mistake, or I forgot to do something. And, I mean, they were heavy. They were strong. It kept me up. It would just – and I would toss and turn, and I would call on the name of Jesus. And I'm like, God, help me, because I wasn't sleeping. And then it started to affect me that when I went to work, I focused on so much on not wanting to be there that was my focus. That made it worse. And then, just not sleeping, I was irritated. I was easily irritated, short with people, you know, everything. Everything got on my nerves, everything. And so what I decided to do differently, I started getting up I would set my alarm for 6 o'clock to get up to pray. And I've noticed since I've done that, those thoughts have stopped. I've even started, my husband gets up at 5:15 to pray. So, you know, I started getting up with him at 5:15 to pray. I've noticed that my day has been different. I don't focus so much on not wanting to be there. The thoughts that were waking me up out of my sleep, it doesn't happen anymore. Why? Because I decided to do something different. I decided to change. I made God first. I made God first through my day. So now that I've been intentional in doing that, he has helped me sleep, because now my focus is I'm not overwhelmed with work. That became my priority. And it was, you know, people say, don't bring work home. And I wasn't bringing work home, so I thought. But subconsciously, I probably was, because it was waking me up in the middle of the night. So, you know, some things sometimes we have to do. And now God is renewing my mind through being in prayer early in the morning before my day starts. So now that I do that, I have a better day. Like, I feel so much better. I feel so much lighter. I can think, you know, I can breathe. I'm not overwhelmed with work anymore. When I'm at work, I do my work, and I make sure that I do it to the best of my ability. And then I go home. I can't bring work home and then try to do be a wife and be a mother and do all those other things that comes after you leave work. You know, our lives aren't focused or solely based on work. Yes, we're there 8 hours a day. Some people may be there longer, but we do have life outside of work, and work should not consume us as a person. So next, I just want to, and if anybody else has anything they want to share, please feel free to press 1 on your keypad so that you can share in this topic that we're talking about today, renewing your mind and why it's important. And daily we have to renew our mind because of the things that we see and the encounters that we have with people and with situations. We have to renew our minds. For those of you that have just joined, Apostle Banks is on vacation. She's enjoying her family, and she will be back tomorrow. But, yes, I'm just happy that she is able to take that time for her. So now I want to go on to five steps to renewing your mind. And this is coming from a website called unlockingthebible.org. So the step one, we can ask the Lord to guard and direct our minds. So our minds is the place of intellect, reasoning, and intentions. Our behavior begins in the mind, and the mind and our minds are where spiritual transformation happens. So the object of our regular thinking will determine how our day, years, and ultimately our life plays out. That's what I was saying earlier. Everything starts in the mind. So sometimes we don't give much thought to ask for the Lord's protection or his direction and oversight of the mind. So we have to remember that, you know, when we're praying for people and situations and things like that, we have to remember to cover our minds. You know, we have to remember to make sure that we pray for our minds. That's, our mind is very, very, very important in our day-to-day living and interactions with others and the things that we our minds help us make decisions and things of that nature, gives, you know, wisdom, you know, what we should and should do, what we should and should not say, you know. And if we don't renew our minds with the things of Christ, then we are allowing those things, those negative things, to direct how our days go. And we don't want negativity to direct the way that our days go. So step two, recognize the source of self-focus and self-defeating thoughts. Given that the behavior begins in our minds and our minds is where spiritual transformation happens, it's no surprise that the adversary wants to mess with our thinking. So it must be his favorite first attempt to distract and disarm Christians, and it usually works. So, you know, sometimes that mental oppression, just it could be with anything. Mine was my job at that moment. It could be your marriage. It could be your finances. It could be your relationship with your kids. You know, when your relationship with your children isn't right, it's like it's not a good feeling at all. It's not a good feeling when your kids aren't going in the direction that you feel like they should be going in. That weighs heavy on you as a mom, as a parent. It weighs heavy on you because, especially for women, you know, we carried these kids for nine months or however long we've carried these kids. So we established, we connected with our kids in the womb. And so there was already relationship there before they were even born. And so once they're born, we nurture them, we take care of them because they can't take care of themselves at that moment. And then when they get to that point of, you know, oh, I'm 18, I'm 20, or, you know, I'm 21. When they get to that point and they start making decisions that, you know, have a negative outcome, it weighs heavy on you. But we have to let our kids learn for themselves and pray that the learning, the thing that they're going through, you know, what it is that they have to learn, we have to pray that it doesn't land them in a grave or in jail. And so, you know, it's still heavy. You know, it's still heavy as a mom. You want them to be protected. You want them to make the right decisions. But we have to think about when we were teenagers, did we always make the right decisions? And when our parents tried to step in, did we listen? You know, we have to remember those things. But at the same time, even though they may not be doing what it is that we think they should be doing or living the way we think that they should be living, as long as we keep, I believe, as long as we keep them covered, the word of God, as long as we pray over them and lift them up to God every day and ask for God's protection, I truly believe that that protection that we're praying for and interceding on behalf of our kids, that God is hearing us and he is shielding our children from things that should have happened, but God blocked it. So, you know, even though we're not there with them every day, you know, we're not there. We don't actually know what they're doing. We don't know, but we have to trust God and that he is protecting our kids in situations where we don't know, you know, what it is that they're doing. So step three, replace self-focused thinking with a God-focused mindset. So after praying for the Lord to protect our minds and recognizing the enemy, we have to make a choice. So will we train our brains to concentrate on the things of God, or will we let it be consumed by the things of this world? So in order to focus our minds on God, it requires some work. So if we don't take purposeful action to set our minds on Jesus Christ, then we are allowing our minds to go anywhere it wants to go, and we know where it will go, and it's nowhere good. So we have to make sure that we are in the Word, and the Word is in us. The Word is in our minds. The Word is in our hearts, and we cannot allow the things that are going on in the world to become the focus of our day. Yes, there's so much negativity going on in the world. I mean, it's bad. But if we focus just on that solely, can you see how that can overtake you and cause, you know, the ill thoughts? And even when it comes to our kids, you know, the things that we see on TV and what we hear in the news, it's like, oh, my goodness, that may happen to my child. That could have been my child. You know, and if we just stay right there in that place, we're going to kill our own self. So we have to make sure that we are praying, that we are keeping our children and our loved ones covered. Even those that aren't our children, we should be keeping covered, that aren't our loved ones. We just need to keep everyone covered because, you know, some of the things that we read in the newspaper and that we hear on the news and different stations, it's sometimes my mouth is wide open, like, oh, are you serious? Like, it's almost unbelievable some of the stuff that is happening. And so prayer is important. Prayer is important. Interceding is important. And for those of us that are seasoned in prayer, meaning that we know how to pray strategically and effectively. We know how to pray with the full winds of Christ. You know, we know how to call on those winds for different situations, the north, the south, the east and west. You know, we know how to call on those winds. You know, a lot of stuff can be either stopped or that the warnings would be there so we would know, you know, what to do. Instead of it happening, and then we're like, you know, oh, that's what God was trying to tell me. So that's why I'm saying in this day and time, we have to be totally connected to Christ. I mean, totally connected. Because in this day and time, there are certain situations that are arising that God wants us to stop. He's given us the power, the authority, and the dominion. He just didn't give it to us just to say that he gave it to us. He gave it to us because he wants us to exercise that, not just say we got it, but to exercise it. And he gave us that to trample demons and all that type of stuff, to use it. Colossians 3:1-2 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Step 4, rest in the truth that you are accepted in Jesus Christ. So pray for the Lord to protect our minds, help us recognize the enemy, and work to keep our minds focused on God. Sometimes we may be successful in it, and sometimes we may not, but we have to get into that place where it becomes consistent. You know, be consistent on purpose. You know, be intentional on purpose when it comes to your relationship with God. We want to be consistent and we want to be intentional. We want to make time for him on purpose because we have to. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 1:5. In Christ, we are free from accusation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. In Christ, we are children of God and heirs along with Jesus. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and following heirs with Christ, Romans 8:16-17. Our identity in Christ is the central fact that influences our present circumstances and determines our eternal future, and it is available by faith alone. Don't doubt, don't wonder, and don't question it. So just accept God's gracious gift and rest in it. Step 5, you want to repeat steps 1-4 daily. So the next time we may be feeling stupid, ignored, or we question our ability, or we feel like we're not worthy, we're not good enough, or we begin to compare ourselves to one another, we need to do these steps in order to help us get through those negative thoughts. God does not condemn us. So we should know that the thoughts of self-condemnation are not from him. There is no fear in God's love. So when we feel afraid or defeated, we can safely ignore those thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts, and when we're not in the Word of God like we should be, or we're not working on our relationship with Christ like we should be, it's easy for those thoughts to overwhelm us just because we're not hearing the voice of God, because we're so busy or distracted, or we're not focused. When we begin to intentionally develop our relationship with God and being in his face, seeking his face, God's word does not lie. God's word does not lie. I was having a conversation with my husband the other day, and I asked him, I said, it's no way that you can still be depressed and all that other stuff if you are intentionally spending time with God. God is not a depressing God. So if you are in his word and you're praying and you're seeking him, you can't tell me that that spirit of depression can just linger or can just still take over. It's not stronger than our Father. It is not. It's not stronger than God's word. It's not. And so I know that our lives are filled with so many things. You know, we wear so many hats. But I promise you that when you begin to put God first, and I'm saying I promise you because I'm one that is experiencing what I'm about to say. I promise you, if you put God first, you intentionally get up in the morning to be in his presence before your day starts. You know, you intentionally make time for him. You know, Matthew 6:33, but, you know, seek his kingdom, but seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is that. Try God at his word. Do it. Seek it. Do what the word says. Whatever the word says will happen, it's going to happen. You know, he's going to make sure when you seek him first, He's going to make sure that you have food on your table, clothes on your back. He's going to make sure that your kids are good. He's going to make sure that your bills are paid. He's going to make sure of all of these things. There's no way that you can have this tight relationship with God and he not take care of you. God is not like us. He does not treat us like we treat one another. He does not promise us things and then take them back. You know, he doesn't do that. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. But he's waiting for us to know him for ourselves, not from what our girlfriend said, you know, not from what our best friend said, our coworker. He's waiting for us to intentionally get in his face for us so that he, you know, relationship is important. How can you say you know somebody that you never spent time with? It's impossible. You know, that's not a friend. That's an acquaintance. That's somebody you just talk to every now and then. That's an associate. You don't have no type of real connection with them. You see them in passing and that's it. You can't really say that you know somebody and you don't spend time with them. You have to intentionally spend time with them. If y'all live miles away, you can talk on the phone. You can get to know somebody from just talking on the phone. But it's up to us to be the ones to, you know, want to establish a relationship. Again, God is not going to force us to want to be in his presence. He's not going to be one of those people that, you know, how we do. Well, if I do this for her, you know, she might do this for me. Almost if you scratch my, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know, that's not who God is. That's not who God is. He's not going to twist your arm to be his friend. He's not going to do all these for you, all these things for you to try to make you be his friend or to like him or to love him. No, God's not in the business of doing that. God wants your pure heart. That means you come to him with a pure heart, you know, crying out to him. You know, God, you know, there are things that I've done that I'm not, you know, too happy about. How can I make this right with you, God? How can I be consistent and be intentional and know that no matter what comes up in my daily life, that it's not take away from the time that I spend with you? God knows we're not perfect. There are going to be some days where you're going to be so tired that you just want to go to bed. There are going to be some times when you fall asleep, but your intent was to pray, but you fell asleep. Don't take on that guilt again. If you feel guilty or the condemnation, safely ignore it. You know that's not from God. You know that's not from God. There will be days where you're going to miss your prayer time. Don't get bent out of shape about that. Don't harbor ill thoughts. Don't let the enemy bombard you with those type of thoughts. You didn't do that yesterday, so God is mad at you. You know, you got up at 3 o'clock, and this is what happened to me. At one time, I wanted to start praying at 3 o'clock in the morning, but because I wanted to go back to sleep afterwards, the enemy would keep saying, well, you won't pray at 3, but you won't go back to sleep, so you're really not spending that quality time with God because you went back to sleep, so you didn't put him first in your day. And then I let those thoughts bombard me and to the point where I just didn't do it. But again, these are the tricks of the enemy, and when we become aware of the tricks and we can kind of see we know his blueprint of how he works, we're not so easily moved by that. And so when he know that he can no longer play his games in our minds, because that is the battle, that is the ground that the enemy loves to play in is our minds, because our reactions, our emotions, you know, all of those things, excuse me, all of those things that we feel we experience, you know, our thoughts, the things, our memories, all of that is housed in areas of our brain. And if we're continually having these negative thoughts, if we keep thinking them over and over and over and over again, they become memories in those different areas of our brains. And so it's there. And so until we decide to empty our minds of the negative thoughts, of the things that we say, of how we live, of how we offended somebody, you know, staying in that place of, you know, oh, I offended somebody, I'm afraid to make it right, you know, or somebody offended me, I'm afraid to make it right. Stop living in fear. We come from royalty, and until we know that we come from royalty, you know, we'll always be in this place where we feel like we're not good enough or that we can't do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do it. We have the ability to do it, but it's on us. It's our choice. You know, God is waiting for us to wake up and see that we're able to do these things. He's given us a uniqueness. We were not designed to be the same. You know, even twins, triplets, you know, they may look alike, but they're not totally the same. And so I think that sometimes when we begin to compare ourselves, you know, I want to sing, but I can't sing like Tamela Mann, so I'm not going to sing. But God has given you the ability to sing. Oh, I want to write, but, you know, I can't write movies and books like Tyler Perry. You know, stop that. Tyler Perry is who he is. You are who you are. You have your own uniqueness. You're not supposed to compare your gift to someone else's. That's you're different. You don't have the way God has designed us, we are different. Yes, it may be millions and billions and trillions of people in the world, but God is so awesome that he has designed us differently, and he knows us. He knows each and every one of us. No, we don't have the capability of doing that. You know, we don't, but God does. And so trust who he says you are. He tells you who you are in the Bible. You know, if we begin to read and study his word, you know, it'll all come together. Revelation will come. You know, healing will come. Deliverance will come. All of that will come when we decide to be intentional and seek his face and get in his word and trust his word and let that doubt fall away. You know, let that unbelief fall away. Don't let a little bit of doubt and unbelief creep in, because it will strangle, you know, the promise that God has given you. It will strangle it. It will cause it to die, because you're so busy looking at the situation with your natural eye instead of with your spiritual eye. We have to see things beyond, you know, what we see in the natural. You know, we have to go beyond that. It's time to go beyond that. It's so much that God has for us. But when we're so bombarded with stuff, you know, it kind of you may be on fire for God. Things start happening, it puts the fire out. We should not allow the things that are going on to put that fire out that God has put underneath us. Don't let those things put it out. That is exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us to be on fire for God. He doesn't want us to share with other people what God has done for us, because he's too scared that person is going to do the same thing. But we got to be intentional. We have to be intentional. We have to be consistent. We have to do things on purpose for God. Do things on purpose, you know, and be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Our timing is not God's timing. Although sometimes we want it to be, God, we've been in this situation for 10 years. You know, how much longer is it? I'm going to have to wait. Know that there is a reward in the wait. God is not going to have you waiting for no reason. Everything that happens, it's a reason why it happened. We may not understand. God allowed it to happen. Remember, the enemy can't do anything without God's permission. The enemy cannot do anything without God's permission. So if it's happening, trust God. That's all I can tell you. If it's happening, trust God. Don't let the thoughts of, you know, what the enemy wants you to think, don't grasp those things. Let them go. Trust God in your weight. Trust God in your circumstances. Trust God when your money is short. Trust God when it looks like you're about to lose your house and all that other stuff. Trust God. So, you know, we're coming to the end of the show for today, and I just want to thank you guys for joining this morning, and I hope that renewing your mind what we talked about today, I hope that it helped in some way, some form, some fashion. Maybe you can share it with somebody else that you know is having a hard time with their thoughts and their circumstances that they're going through. But again, we have we have a responsibility, and that is to share the word of Christ, that is to renew our minds, that is to be in God's face, and that is to worship him, trust him, and know that he is in control, and that no matter what we face and go through, God is going to see us through because he is a faithful God. So thank you all for joining. I hope everyone has a blessed day. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll meet you back here next Saturday. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.